Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We have your Saturday sorted, tips, insights and everything you need to know for every race on ITV over the next 30 minutes or so. I'm your host, James Stevens, and joining me on the show today to look at a really good Saturday of racing is our Lambourne correspondent, Liam Head, betting editor, Keith Melrose, and Unibet's Brett Williams. What we've got on the show for you today is a detailed look at Newbury, where the Group 2 Hungerford Stakes is the highlight. More Thunder, the so unlucky at Royal Ascot. He got his big day at Newmarket. He's a handicapper going into group companies. The big favourite on Saturday will have a detailed look at a really good Group 2 race at Newbury. That's one of four live ITV races we'll be looking at there. We'll also be heading to Ripon for its big sprint handicap, the Great St Wilfrid. And as you'll know, eagle eye viewers will see Keith Melrose. He loves these big sprints, so we can get stuck into that. It's one of two races at Ripon. And we'll be looking out for the greys at Newmarket. It's the grey horse handicap also on ITV at Newmarket there. But as I mentioned at the top, it is Newbury where we start. And the ground is good to firm, good in places at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon, should I say. And your big favourite for the Hungerford at 3:35, Visit Malta Hungerford Stakes, is More Thunder. He is 11-4. Spy Chief for Godolphin at 100-30. Witness Stand, the glorious Goodwood winner at 5-1. King's Gamble and Eyecatcher last time out, 11-2. Great Generation 10s, Rage of Bambi winner at the course last time at 12s. Alanabi 14s, Fair Angelica 16s, Marvel Man and Duty First, both 20-1 outsider. Let's start with you, Liam. You are the local man on course. Don't live too far away from Hungerford. What is going to win the Hungerford, though?
Just going back to your point on the ground, I think it's very much going to stay on the very quick side. It's obviously 28, 29 degrees here in Berkshire all weekend. So one for the horses that don't mind the fast conditions. For me, though, I'm going to stick with Witness Stand, obviously, for Jamie and Sol and Richard Newland, as we saw, tremendous winner in the Lennox at Glorious Goodwood. Obviously, quite a shock that day. I think he won at 25-1, but he's been a very consistent performer for the yard. I think finished inside the first three, I think 10 of 16 starts, four of those wins. But he's coming into this race in career best form. Obviously achieved a career high Racing Post rating the last day, winning at the Glorious meeting. I think he's going to absolutely relish this trip, this ground. He's obviously a course winner as well, course and distance winner, winning a listed race at Newbury last year. So I think he's very much on the up for a yard going places. So I think he can be a serious player in this race.
5-1 is Witness Stand, ridden, of course, by Billy Lotnan, fresh from his Group 1 success in Germany on the weekend. Keith, talk us through your view on the Hungerford.
It's actually a good race, isn't it? It's not full of household names, but, you know, it's that might be the race it becomes in future. This is the first year we've had the City of York Stakes with its Group 1 status, and a lot of these 7-furlong big races are back into the season. The Hungerford probably used to be the prime one, and you would get the established 7-furlong horses here. But it might end up being the slow lane from now on. It might have, you know, your Witness Stands, King's Gamble, Spy Chief, More Thunder, all trying to get themselves established as Group 2 and up horses. And this might be what the Hungerford is in the years to come. And I sort of welcome it as long as the horses are there, because it's a good race. I don't have there's not one here I'm thinking this is a huge bet as a result, you know. But the one I think is a big price is King's Gamble, who was second in the Hackwood here last time. That was his first run in a year. And he just shaped like he wanted seven, you know. He got cut off last year on the way up. You know, he was fifth in the Britannia at Royal Ascot over a mile. And then he was second in the Thoroughbred Stakes at Glorious Goodwoods and didn't get seen after that. But then he came back for the Hackwood, which would be a short enough trip for him. And he's finished really strongly to finish second in that race. And with that run behind him, I think he can go on and do some damage this back end, you know. And this looks like this is the race where it's you're going to be setting yourself up for that in future. As I say, I wouldn't back anything at 11-4 or shorter in this race. I think it's very open, but at 11-2, I think King's Gamble's offering a little bit of value.
And of course, he was a little bit slow away as well at Newbury last time, so plenty in favour of King's Gamble at 11-2. Let's bring you in, Brett. What's the market been looking like for the Hungerford, and what's your fancy?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Keith has said. It is real interest in renewal, isn't it? I remember Mukhtar won this race about 10 years on the banks many years ago for Chavon and Marcus Chagonin. And we are super boosting the field in this race from 9 o'clock, so you will get some decent value with Unibet. The favourite, though, More Thunder, has been very, very strong with us this morning. Talking to our traders, there's been a lot of support for this horse today. As you said, just got up in the Bunbury Cup last time, beating Aalto, who actually I've been riding this week, I can tell you, a bit of useless information for you. He didn't do much to Frank the Form when he ran at Ascot last time, but he's probably not the most consistent. I mean, More Thunder really could be anything, couldn't he? He's got entries in the Champion Sprint, the QE2, and the Sprint Cup at Haydock as well. So they're probably just sort of finding their way with him and seeing exactly how good he is. If he wasn't in it, I would be all over King's Gamble, because I agree with everything that Keith said. That was a cracking run in the Hackwood last time. I think the step up to seven, or back up to seven, will suit him. And he's obviously entitled to improve for that first run. He's also much better off at the weights with More Thunder. He's rated £7 higher. They're off levels in this race. So he's quite well in that from a weight point of view. But I just think that More Thunder could be something quite special. I think this will be a stepping stone to much bigger and better things. And he has been, as I said, very well back with Unibet.
Okay, definitely getting an inside view there, Brett. That selection is More Thunder, who's been popular with Unibet for the big race. Let's move on to the second race, the other group race on the card. This is the 150 at Newbury, the Highcliffe Thoroughbred Racing Geoffrey Freer Stakes, where the Progressive Pinhole looks to step it up against big opposition. And he is your 15-8 favourite for the art-winning trainer, Rafe Beckett. Epic Poet, he's got loads of form here. He's going to set a decent form standard for him. He's 7-2. Candleford at 4-1. Nighttime Dancer, the ever three-year-old in the lineup, is 5-1. Further for Andrew Balding and Oisin Murphy at 13-2. And Ambiente Friendly at 9-1. Let's go straight back to you, Keith. The Geoffrey Freer Pinhole, how good is he?
I mean, he's obviously quite well regarded. I'm not certain that Ascot form last time is amazing. I mean, he could obviously be a lot better than that, and I do like three-year-olds in this race. I think if the connections were any different, for instance, I think he'd be a bit of a bigger price. I think there's just bits to get at him here. I do like three-year-olds in this race as a rule. If you're an older horse turning up in the Geoffrey Freer, you've probably done something a bit wrong. But if you're a three-year-old in the Geoffrey Freer, you're potentially thought ready to do something really right. But Pinhole deserves to be favourite. I think there's enough holes in it. And I just don't think Nighttime Dancer's had the chance to show what he can do yet. He obviously ran in that Lingfield Derby trial, too inexperienced really for Lingfield at that stage. He got a pretty ordinary ride in the Derby. He was last in a race where, you know, it was so against horses that were ridden like that. And then obviously last time he finished second, well beaten second in the Bahrain Trophy, and you'd think that was disappointing, but it was Scandinavia who beat him. Scandinavia came out and won the Goodwood Cup next time. So this is a horse I just don't think has had the chance to do what he should have so far. And I think the sort of relatively less loyalty-inspiring connections, you know, everybody loves Junmer, everybody wants to be with Beckett, everybody likes to see horses like Pinhole going up through the grades, whereas Nighttime Dancer's, apart from anything else, just not as fashionable. I don't think his form is as far off as the prices make out.
Yep, Nighttime Dancer, 5-1, a strong case there by Keith. Liam, what's your selection here?
I like the look of Epic Poet. I must say that there's not an awful lot to split all six of them, but I think the experience that he's got should prove an advantage going into this race. Obviously had a fairly decent campaign in the Middle East. Obviously won at Maiden and in January before placing a few times, you know, across the area. I thought his performance in the Yorkshire Cup was, you know, magical, really. To finish only a head behind Rebel's Romance, who's obviously gone on to Frank the Form twice, once at Ascot, and then obviously the Group 1 in Germany that we've seen last weekend. So the form stacks up tremendously, really. And I think on quick ground, you know, the fact that he's proven pace, I just think he's going to run a big race. Obviously, didn't really turn up at Royal Ascot, you know, finishing where he did in the Hardwick. But I think you can, based on what he's done elsewhere this year, I think you can easily put a line through that. And and expect a bounce back to form in this race for David O'Mara, who's having another good year.
Epic Perk, the 7-2 second favourite for Liam. Brett, we'll come to you. There was a bit of talk there about Pinhole being perhaps a bit short because of his price being a bit too short because of connections, and the right profile is potentially better than this level. What's the market been saying with this one? Is it all case of Pinhole being popular? Of course, Colin Keane back in the plate as well.
Yeah, I mean, steady way at the top of the market there. But if they listen, our traders have obviously been, all the punters have been listening to Liam, because Epic Poet is definitely the best backed in the race. Real strong support for him, as you said, that those good runs behind Rebel's Romance is looking rock solid. Again, to agree with everything that Keith said, I'm very keen on Nighttime Dancer. He's a rock solid horse. He's, you know, he ran in the Derby. That was obviously, in hindsight now, that was a very good run behind Scandinavia in the race at Newmarket, the July Stakes. And then, you know, there's plenty to like about him. We know that he stays. I mean, this may have a little bit of a say on something like the St. Ledger. We've got the three roads, Nighttime Dancer, Pinhole, and Further. They're all three big prices. Pinhole and Nighttime Dancer are both 33s for the Ledger, and Further's a 50-1 shot. So it's unless one of these absolutely bulks up doing a handstand, then that price might shorten slightly. But yeah, I think Nighttime Dance has been there, done it. I haven't actually had a chance to speak to Richard Hannon yet. I know he's over in France today. He's got a couple of runners over there, so not had a chance to get hold of him. But yeah, I think he's got rock solid credentials in a race where we will be doing a price boost as well in that Jeffrey Freer at 150.
As you rightly say, big weekend for Richard Hannon. Not only Nighttime Dancer looking to go one better after that second in the Bahrain Trophy, but Rosalian on Sunday. I'm sure Brett will have plenty of insight ahead of a big race on Sunday.
Him a shout, usually sort of in between, he's jumping on and off of a helicopter or out of a plane or somewhere like that. Usually try and get hold of him. And he's got a big weekend ahead. I think it's D-Day, isn't it, for Rosalian on Sunday? But we digress slightly.
Yes, certainly do. Well, that's plenty to look forward to. It's that time of year where there's flat racing everywhere you turn. And we're not done with Newbury yet. We've got two really good handicaps to get stuck into. The 225, which is a sprint, and then the 3 o'clock, which particularly does look quite competitive as well. We're going to go straight back to our local man, though. Liam, you'll be there on Saturday. Two races, the 225 at Newbury and the 3 o'clock. What have you got for us?
Well, in the 225, James, I can't look past Jack Shannon's Get Ready to Rumble. Really consistent performer for a yard. Again, in tremendous form. I think for the last 10 runners that Jack Shannon sent out, this is obviously before Thursday's action, four of them have won. So, and very rarely are any of them sort of hanging out the back of the TV. They're all sort of finishing second, third. You know, they're all getting squeaks. So I think, you know, this horse is just has been really, really consistent. Finished second at Goodwood in the glorious meeting. Obviously on ground, probably too testing for him. So I think a return to the quick ground and the fast condition should be a major plus. I think he brings probably the most consistent form into the race out of this field. And he's really come into his own the last sort of four starts. I think each of his last four runs have yielded an improved racing post rating. So I think he really is the one that that they all have to beat in this one. In terms of the 3 o'clock, another competitive handicap we've got, I can't really look past the favourite classic for Richard Hannon. I thought he ran a cracker penultimate start when winning over a mile at Sandown, and he proved that stepping back to 7 furlongs, you know, didn't really hinder his progression when he was second to Two Tribes in the international. So again, he's the one that brings in the most consistent form. So I think he's the one to beat it on that front.
Yeah, it's not an episode of a postcast, Liam, without mention to Classic. He seems to run Seam every Saturday, and he always gets a mention because he's always pretty prominent in the betting. Brett, what's your verdict on those two races?
I look at Classic, and in all fairness to me, he has actually sort of begin to put a string of decent runs together, isn't he? Looking a little bit more consistent and genuine, but I wouldn't quite trust him. I've known that we are in fact top price all runners in this race from 12 o'clock, so you will definitely get the best value with Unibet. I've narrowed it down to King of Stars for Mick Appleby and Ali Rawlinson and Star Chorus for Ocean Murphy and Andrew Boarding. I just think, and King of Stars, yes, he's been there, he's danced every dance, but he's very, very well handicapped on some of his previous form. You can make a good case for him. I'd expect him to improve for that first run back of the season at Ascot last time on. Was it King George Day? Yeah, it was King George Day. So you'd expect him to strip a little bit fitter off the back of that good run behind Coverer. And the other horse, Star Chorus, forgive that run at Goodwood last time. The ground was heavy. You know, we saw that deluge of rain. Go back to his impressive win at Chepstow before that. And he's certainly, you know, with a chance, he's very unexposed, got the right connections. And they're both decent each way prices. It's setting a race where we will be top industry price every single runner in that 225. And the 3 o'clock. Yeah, go on. Sorry, you want the 3 o'clock as well. Havana Pews is the best back here into 12 to 1 from 16s. And I mean, it's a tricky race, but Wolf of Badenoch is the horse that I've come down to. Quite highly tried as a juvenile, and perhaps a bit disappointed in the Home Cup last time. But, you know, he's got some decent form. He's quite well treated as well. And he stays the trip 7 furlongs. So Wolf of Badenoch for me in the 3 o'clock. And as I said, between King of Stars or Star Chorus in that 225.
Yeah, that 3 o'clock. So particularly interesting, Wolf of Badenoch or Badenoch, 28 to 1 rank outsider in the 3 o'clock. Keith, what's your selections in the two?
Well, it's a 225, more the race for me, 5 furlong race. Get Ready at Rumble is an admirable horse. I think he suits tracks like Goodwood better, though. And Rhythm and Hooves is very much an Ascot all-weather horse. So they're the top two in the betting. And I'm King of Stars, I'm amazed he's not entered at York next week. I thought he'd be a right type for York next week. And I did see that run last time at Ascot on his first start of the season and thought, oh, I'll be interested in him near to hand. I assume they're lining him up for the Ebor meeting. But he was drawn high that day on the rail, and I think the first four were five of the highest drawn horses that day. The horse that finished best out of them that wasn't in those stalls was Glamorous Breeze, who, you know, she's 7, we know all about her, but she's an out-and-out 5 furlong horse, travels really well. The last twice at Ascot in races worth far more money than this. She's been away from the action, really, and run really well, considering. She's on a decent mark. You know, she's won twice this year. She's a horse that takes her turn, but she is the one that everything is going right for her today. She's in better form than recent form figures imply. And I thought in a race where you could say, well, what are you doing here? What are you doing here about the rest, that she was quite interesting.
Yes, Glamorous Breeze is the one for Keith Melrose in that 225 at Newbury. That's Newbury done. And after this short break, we will be looking at the action from Ripon. Okay, we are going to turn our attentions to Ripon. We are recording on Thursday afternoon. The ground as it stands is good. Good to firm in places. And the big race there is, of course, the 320 at Ripon, the William Hill MND Association Great St. Wilfrid Handicap. Your favourite, as it stands, is Rulesing Encore at 5-1. Rock Opera at 15-2, along with Secret Guest Meet. Mr. Sock at 9-1, Kodak Thriller at 11s, along with Alizea, Grant Wood at 12s, Nostrum 14s, along with City Walk and First Folio Abduction, 16-1 bar. Keith, we know you love these big sprint handicaps. Talk us through the Great St. Wilfrid on Saturday.
Well, the received wisdom in the Great St. Wilfrid is you want to be drawn one side or the other. You want to be you're on either rail. And you want to be prominent too, because Ripon's a track where things go up and down a little bit. It's like a Lynx golf course's fairway. So you making up ground under those conditions can be quite difficult. The far side, you know, we've talked about Alzahir already. But I think he's starting to look like he's maybe had enough for now. He's done his work for the summer, perhaps. But he was faintly interesting, and Prince of Pillow is going to be much happier coming up to this distance. But I thought the far side was the more interesting this time. On that side, you've got Rousing Encore, who's a favourite. He's in stall two. And, you know, the form from Thirsk last time form from York, sorry, is really quite good. Yes, James Sullivan, he took the really safe route. He dived up the rail at York instead of trying to weave his way through. Elmanjed weaved through and won. Sullivan, by taking the long but safe route, probably cost himself second. So I can see why he's favourite. I'll be having him on side. But the horse that might be my sort of selection, if you're looking for one horse in the race, is next door. It's a horse called City Walk, Godolphin, who's hadn't, a bit like King of Stars, hadn't been seen for yonks after a really successful time of it in like 2023. He was pretty much the best all-weather sprint handicapper around in 2023. He won one of the good races at Newcastle. And he made his first start in like 18 months over 7 at Newcastle at the Northumberland Plate meeting. showed loads of zest. You know, he traded at something like a third of his Betfair ASP, having gone out in front over seven, and then just blew up because he wouldn't have stayed and he wouldn't have been fit. Saeed Bin Sarur, very good with his older horses, and he's sensibly given him 7 weeks since to get over that, and he finds himself in a decent enough draw in the Great St Wilfrid. It's obviously a valuable race too, and if they employ similarly sort of aggressive tactics, I can see City Walk going really close. So yes, Rousing Encore is going to be on side, but you won't thank me for pointing that one out. I think the sort of one I might have spotted in the race is City Walk.
Yeah, great insight there, Keith. 14-1 he is as it stands. Brett, talk us through what's happened in the market. Obviously, it's such a competitive betting race, this.
Yeah, it always is. We're paying five places each way in the Great St Wilfrid, and also five places each way in the 2.45 as well. I'll give you a few money horses. Grant Wood has been quite strong into 16-1 from 20, and Abduction, a 20-1 shot from 33. I mean, it's the sort of race where you're looking at backing something each way. You know, I was really interested to hear Keith's thoughts on City Walk, because that was the horse that I narrowed it down to. Again, I was looking at perhaps where the best place to be drawn is, so I picked one on either side pretty much. City Walk is drawn in three. And the other one I like is Rock Opera, who's on the far side, or on the stand side of the track, is at the handicap. But of course, that's eradicated by Ethan Tyndall's claim. So you can make a case for Rock Opera. But I just think that City Walk, you know, stepping back down in trip, quite a keen going sort. He was quite keen last time. That would have blown the cobwebs away. Handles the ground. And I think there's plenty to like about him. He's very well handicapped off his current mark of 98. He's well off 102 at Maidan. So there's lots to like about him. But as I said, Grant Wood and Abduction, the two money horses each way in a race where we are paying five. Yes, you saw that. Five places each way. How about that then? We don't mess around at Unibet.
Certainly don't. Well, it's two shouts for City Walk. Could be a bit of a price to watch on Saturday afternoon. Liam, are you going to complete a hat trick for this one, or would you like something else?
No, I'm going to go with City Walk's neighbour, Mr. Sox. The last two times he's won, he's ran at Ripon, he's won at Ripon. So I think you can't really look any further in terms of course form. I think he should appreciate the quick ground, and you know, he's only rated 80, £3 higher than his last winning mark at the track. So I think he can definitely run a big race, and obviously that sort of fits into the explanation Keith gave earlier about the draw. He's drawn in four, so I think that's exactly where you kind of want to be in a race like this, competitive race like this. And he's trained by Tim Easterby as well, who's won this race twice since 2017. So for me, Mr. Sox is the one who I think can run a big race.
Okay, we've gone from one tricky handicap to, well, another very difficult one. This is the 2.45 Ripon. The other race we'll be previewing there, the William Hill supporting MND Silver Cup handicap, where we have 11-2 the field. Novello Lad, your favourite. Fortimore at 6-1, Dick Over Legend 13-2, Showtime Mahomes, could be a fitting win of the NFL just round the corner, is 8-1, King's Merchant at 17-2, Wreck-It Riley at 9s, Cat's Bob and Hectic at 11s, 12-1 is It Just Takes Time and Havana Run, 14-1 bar. Brett, there seems to be a bit of movement for King's Merchant, 11-1 into 17-2, bit of support there.
Got any particularly strong opinion in this race, but just to reiterate that we will be paying an extra place each way, so five places each way in both those feature sprints at Ripon on Saturday.
Okay, no view from Brett. We've got five places. Keith, what's your verdict on this one?
Well, I think King's Merchant's being popular because of where he's been drawn. He's been drawn right in the near rail in 16. And if you had to pick, if you had draw ceremonies for these races, I think 16 or the highest numbered stall would be the first to go. Interestingly, there's not an awful lot of pace on that near side. I don't think King's Merchant's going to want to get that rail and lead on that rail, nor Woodstock in 15 or Dick of the Legend in 14. And for some more, though, he is a prominent racer, and he could probably drive the horse box to Ripon, to be honest. He's run here 24 times. 6 wins, 3 seconds and 6 thirds as well. 15 times out of 24 he's been in the 3. Look, he's older than the hills, he's 9 now, but he's basically sort of like Andy Roddick at Wimbledon in that, you know, he just wasn't quite good enough to ever win one. He could win a Great St Wilfrid. Great St Wilfrid was his race. He was made for it, but he's never been good enough to win that race from the sort of mark you get in it from, and now he's 9. However, this is There used to be a Great St Wilfrid consolation race, an official one. It doesn't exist anymore, but this is sort of what replaced it as a separate race. And this is exactly the sort of race that I can see Fortimore running a big race in. And the draw, once you dig under the surface, the pace scenario is really beneficial to him. He is four off that rail with three really hold-up horses on his inside. I think he can get there, and I think he can do what Just Another Bottle did in the Great St Wilfrid 2 or 3 years back and just never see another rival.
Yeah, the Andy Roddick of Ripon, Keith. I tell you what, we hear some interesting things on the podcast, but that's right up there. Fortimore is a selection at 6-1. Liam, have you got some tennis-like reference with your selection here?
Not at all, no. I don't think anyone can follow that reference up. Yeah, for me, though, for this race, I like the look of Novello Lad for Paul Midgley. Been in, you know, good form as of late, won his two of his last three starts. And, you know, this is, again, the trainer who knows how to win this race. He won this race 12 months ago. He's running, Novello Lad's running on a career high mark, but, you know, the way he won the last day shows he's more than capable of continuing that. And I think he could be in a good position in stall 11 as well. So he'd be the one that I'd be sort of looking at in this big field handicap.
Novello Lad at 11-2. Right, that's Ripon done. And we will head to Newmarket now, where it's the Grey Horse Handicap. A bit of a niche race, this. The 205 at Newmarket. Liam, we'll come straight back to you. Fan of this race, firstly, and what's the selection?
Yeah, so it's always an interesting race, isn't it? You know, you just don't know which horse is going to turn up, I guess. I suppose it kind of provides the sort of warm up to the bigger races, you know, at Newbury and obviously Ripon that we've just touched on. For me, I like the look of Addison Gray for Clive Cox. Just think he's been in, you know, really good form. He's very lightly raced as well. Finished, obviously won by an absolute canter at Salisbury on his first start out in the summer in July, when winning, I think it was about 16 or 17 lengths. Back that up, you know, finishing a decent third in the racing league last week. Wasn't beaten by much, but I think, you know, a sort of a return to a quick track like Newmarket should help him. And I think he can go well for a Lambourne trainer.
Yes, a Lambourne tip from the Lambourne man, Addison Gray. Also my selection in the race there, Liam, so I'm with you on that. Brett, what's your verdict here? And fan of a race as well?
Yeah, I think it's a great little incentive, isn't it? What's the problem? Doesn't do anybody any harm, does it? It's going to be, I think, across the board, Addison Gray for me, to be honest. Perhaps a little bit of touch unlucky last time in the racing league, as Liam's already alluded to, was very impressive at Salisbury on his first run of the year. My only sort of perhaps question mark would be, he has had two runs in quite quick succession. You know, if he's over those exertions of a couple of weeks ago, you'd expect to see him go very well. He's a winner of two of his four races. Clive Cox, I think, has got a 20% strike rate at Newmarket in the last 5 years. Very well handicapped with young Jack Nicholls taking £7 off his back as well. That brings him down to a real nice mark of 81. There's plenty to like about him. So, yeah, Addison Gray for me in a race where if you back the second or the third, you'll get your money back as cash. Good old Reddish, you get it back, second or third.
Good man. And Brett, just before we go, just remind us all the offers we've got this weekend.
So, yeah, so if you're having a bet in the Hungerford Stakes, we're super boosting all of the field in that race from 9 o'clock. So that's the Hungerford at 3.35. We're paying five places each way in the 2.45 at Ripon and the Great St Wilfrid at 3.20. So five places each way there. Price boost for you in the 1.50. That's the Geoffrey Freer at Newmarket. We are top industry price every single runner in the 2.25. That's also at Newbury. And then, as I said, money back with your second or third in the 205 The Grays race from HQ.
Okay, Keith, you're the final one. And just before you do, Keith, who would be the Melrose favourite grey?
Favourite grey?
Yeah.
That's not a question I ever ask myself, is it? I'm not the sort of person to ask you. I'd probably go for a horse called Lyford K, who was trained by Peter Chappell Isle on the flat and Rob Bewley over jumps because he's one of the horses that got me into racing. But that's honestly, that's not a question I ask myself. What do you take me for?
Well, if it was Graham Rodway, he could have reeled them off.
They're all good jumpers, according to runners, aren't they? So, but that, not that that'd help you here. But I do like this race, partly, mainly because it's a 6 furlong, not 285. The fact that it's for Greys is a positive, but that's because it just restricts the pool. It's going to be a weaker race. The same way Phillies races are weaker than open sex races, Grey horse races are going to be weaker than open colour races. So it's a race that can be won more easily than the sort of standard. By the time you see this, this comes out at 7 o'clock, doesn't it? By the time you see this, we'll have a bit of a form guide on this. But I really like the form of the race. Addison Grey was third in at Chepstow that last week. The winner, Roberto Caro, is in the Air Gold Cup, might run in that. The second and the fourth both run on the Racing League on Thursday night at Windsor. And I'm interested in particular in the fourth, the Jim Goldie. They're both stable changers that day, actually. One was called King of Light, and Montezuma for Jim Goldie really caught my eye that day. I think that's a really good bit of form. And it's been pointed out that it's 9 days turnaround for Addison Grey, and but I think he's actually going to get more out of the experience he got at Chepstow. Previous runs were at Southall, were at Donny, and at Salisbury. Chepstow's a different world from them. It's up and it's down. It's like the Big Tipper at Blackpool. And he just looked like a horse who wasn't totally at ease on a new track on what was his handicap debut in his fourth run. They're turning him around quickly for a race that, as I've already described, is pretty winnable for what it is. I think there's an awful lot going for him. And they had Jack Nicholls booked on this horse at the 5-day stage. There's no accident that he's ended up on this horse claiming seven. You know, he'll have as many winners as any £7 claimer so far this season, and he got him very early. So I think there's a lot to be said for him here. And I think, were it not for a sort of, and again, we've talked already about connections and how they can influence a market. We've got a sexy Haggis long wide margin winner last time in Bin Harir, who's in his favourite. But for that horse being in here, and he deserves to be treated and respected by the market, but for him, if it wasn't a Haggis horse that had won like that last time, I think Addison Grey would be 2-1. So he's a really, really attractive price to me. I think he's a really good bet.
Yep, I fancy him to agree with what you said about Chepstow, and a cracking run on pretty inexperienced as well in a pretty hot Racing League race. So Addison Grey, all four of us are keen on this horse. And Keith, just before we go on to our best bets, you've got one elsewhere off the ITV cameras for us to look out for.
Yes, and it's at Doncaster. We've got a bit of form here that I quite like that keeps getting boosted at Musselburgh from June, actually. And the thing is, I would like to point out when form you don't expect to work out is working out. It's one of the themes in the Form Hacker column I do every week now. And it was a race at Musselburgh that won by Luna Inverness. That horse has won at least once since, probably twice, I think, including some decent races. And a lot of other horses have come and improved out of it. Off the back of it, I backed the runner-up, Top Warrior, at York when he ran 3 weeks later, and he let me down, frankly. However, he's been off 7 weeks since. They've gelded him. He obviously had been a naughty boy, so they've obviously paid the not quite the ultimate price, but they've gelded him, and now he's back after 7 weeks off to run at Donny. Now, I like the fact it's Donny. He's a previous winner on the all-weather, and all-weather form tends to translate quite well to Donny. And I don't think they needed to send him here. If they just wanted to give him a leg stretch after this gelding operation, they could have easily sent him to, you know, Salisbury or whatever. They didn't need to do this. So I think that assuages any fears about him not being ready. So I think Top Warrior is well worth another chance in an otherwise pretty ordinary race, and that's the 4:15 at Donny on Saturday.
Thank you very much. And Keith, where can we read the Form Hacker?
It's every Wednesday in the Post, and obviously, as a result, every Tuesday evening on racingpost.com for members.
Well worth your time. Right, after this short break, we'll be getting our best bets from the weekend.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time in the show where we have to pick out our 4 best bets from the panel. And Brett, you can start us off.
That's very kind of you, James, because I know this is quite a popular selection anyway. Yeah, Addison Grey for me in that. That's a famous grey race at Newmarket, 205, a horse trained by Clive Cox, who's got a good strike rate for the track. Very good effort last time at Chepstow. Winner of two of his four races, so still improving, still on the upgrade, and could be well handicapped with his decent £7 claimer. So Addison Gray for me in the 205 at Newmarket.
Yeah, all four of us in for that horse. So rare selection on the postcast. Liam, our local man to Newbury, perhaps the selection is going to come there.
It is in the 225 race on Saturday. Jack Shannon's in tremendous form. I think four winners from the last 10 runners as of today on Thursday. And I really like the chances of Get Ready to Rumble. Finished second behind Nana's Sparkling, the Glorious Goodwood Meeting on ground that was probably too heavy for him. Returns to the quicker ground. You know, he's won two of his six starts, and I think he can make that 3 out of 7 on Saturday.
Get Ready to Rumble, 225 at Newbury. Keith, and yours?
You know, I'm a producer's nightmare. I tend to like see what one I convince myself the most during the show and pick that, and it would have been Addison Gray. I got myself in a right lather talking that one up. That is a really strong bet on Saturday. However, it can't be that one. It's already taken. And failing him, it's going to be the Ripon Roddick each way. Four or more in the 245 at Ripon.
There we go. Well, if anything, you've heard how strong we all are on Addison Gray. So fingers crossed for that one. I'm going to go for King's Gamble in the 335 big race, the Hungford. Keith also tipped up this horse. Really encouraging run last time. I think he'll improve loads from it. And I just want to take on More Thunder. I'm not convinced that he's a group horse just yet. So King's Gamble in the 335 at Newbury, our big race, the Hungerford Stakes. Now you can join us again at 7 o'clock next week for our show. We'll be previewing the Ebor. That's the big highlight next week. And of course, we'll have loads of content for a fantastic week at York. So don't go anywhere else. The Racing Post has you covered for four fantastic days. But as for now, thank you very much this week, our panellist, Liam Head, our Lambold correspondent, betting editor Keith Melrose, and of course Unibet's Brett Williams. If you're a fan of the show, do make sure to rate, review and subscribe. Got any fancies yourself, do let us know in the comments. Always interesting to see how your opinions differ from ours. And of course, do enjoy a fantastic weekend of racing, and of course next week at York. But for now, goodbye, and of course, gamble responsibly.